Super glue has an interesting history. Many believe that it was discovered as an accidental solution to battle wounds during the Second World War. That, I've come to know, is an urban legend. However, it was discovered accidentally in a search for materials to make clear plastic gun sights for use on weapons during the war. But scientists stumbled upon this chemical solution that seemed to stick to everything, and it certainly wasn't what they were looking for, and so it was discarded and or set aside in 1942. In 1951, super glue was rediscovered by Eastman Kodak researchers Harry Coover and Fred Joyner, and they recognized it for its commercial value. And so then began the sale of super glue. On the super glue brand, there is a logo of a car being suspended by a crane. And perhaps some of you remember seeing this picture or remember the logo. And the background of this is there was a radio station that heard about super glues and decided to put them to the test. And picture before you is a convertible suspended by a crane by steel that was bonded with this super glue. And it was discovered that this bonded steel would lift up to 3,000 pounds after just 10 seconds and would eventually hold at least 5,000 pounds. Now that's super glue. But I'm going to direct your thoughts to another type of super glue. Something far more important than this adhesive. What is the super glue that will keep marriages intact and that will keep families together? What is that adhesive that will cause marriages to thrive and to withstand the pressures from the world? What is that adhesive that will keep families together when society tends to pull us apart? Many studies have been done about what makes families strong. I know Ricky has studied a lot in this area, and in a class on Sunday mornings is expanding upon these. But I do want to remind you of six qualities of strong families. Research has shown that commitment, appreciation and affection, positive communication, time together, spiritual well-being, and the ability to cope with stress and crises are six qualities of strong families. Families were selected that were perceived to be strong by others, and again, these six qualities would emerge. But of these six, which would you say is the most important? All of them tie together in many, many ways, but I'll tell you what I believe is the most important, and that is commitment. Commitment. Yes, it's based on spiritual well-being. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on who God is and what His desire is. But it's expressed in commitment. It's the foundation upon which these other strengths are built. One writer says, commitment is the bedrock on which every enduring family must be built. Commitment is that super glue that'll keep us together when other things would tend to pull us apart. Concerning this commitment, notice this quote: in the atmosphere of trust and security that mutual commitment creates, every family member can survive any bad time or personal failure. That's how important it is that when we're going through a tough time, that commitment to our family is something that will help sustain us during those times. I love this statement. The commitment offers a harbor that shelters family members from the destructive forces of fear, anxiety, rejection, and loneliness. Commitment is that harbor. It's that super glue that will keep us together as families. Two applications of this super glue of commitment and how it needs to be evident in our relationships within the family. Notice, first of all, the superglue of commitment within the family as it pertains to marriage. Being committed to the marriage relationship. At the heart of commitment to the family, unit is dedication to the marriage relationship. It's got to begin with husband and wife, with mom and dad. And as they fulfill their commitment to each other, they set the stage for all other commitments a family should have. And that's why we read through the scriptures and we see that God places a high value on the marriage relationship and how He condemns any violation of that marital covenant. Let me share with you two examples. In the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 2, as Malachi the prophet is addressing the people of Israel and problems that they had that were bringing the judgment of God, he underscores the importance of this commitment in marriage. Listen to Malachi 2, verse 13, beginning. This is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying. So he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says, he hates divorce. It covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. One of the problems in Israel that brought God's judgment upon them was the fact that they had not remained faithful to their covenant of marriage. That's how important it is. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees came to Jesus testing him and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? Jesus answered and said to them, notice he goes all the way back to the beginning, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. Whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Jesus is underscoring God's plan for marriage. He goes back to the beginning when God instituted it. Have you not read this? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And those statements are filled with this idea and this principle of commitment that is so important. Be joined, cleaved to his wife. There's that idea of super glue or the mortar that holds husband and wife together. And it's so fundamentally important to our families because our children see their parents loving each other. When they see that, they feel secure in the longevity of their family. There's a sense in which their parents' commitment to each other also shows the parents' commitment to the children and to the family as a whole. But I want to interject three power points within this lesson, and here's the first one. First of all, it takes two. It takes two. One of the partners in the marriage having that commitment is not enough. It takes both partners within the marriage. And the children know when one is committed, the other is not, and it affects them. But that's why it takes two. And let the record show that clearly. It must be from both parties within the marriage relationship. But that leads to the second power point. It takes you. It takes me. It takes each of us individually expressing that commitment and being committed to the relationship. Your family, your spouse, your children need to know that you're committed to them until the day that you die. And if one in a marriage relationship does not express that commitment and forsakes the marriage and breaks the covenant, then those who the parents are left to help for the rest of their lives underscore to their children, I still love you. I am committed to you. But it needs to begin in the marriage relationship. That's what makes marriages magnificent. The goal here isn't just to stay married. It's to be committed to make the marriage all that it can be. May I remind us that marriage is a commitment for life. But it's also a commitment to love one another for a lifetime. And there's a difference between the two. One is cold, stale, drudgery. The other is full of life and love and sincerely seeking the good for the other person. It's a commitment for life, but it's a commitment to love for a lifetime. God commands husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Love your wife as your own body, Ephesians 5, 25 and 28. Wives are commanded to love their husbands and their children, Titus 2 and verse 4. And the commitment to be there and not abandon each other no matter what is the foundation. But it goes much further than that. This commitment for loving for a lifetime needs to be expressed as we will do whatever it takes to love each other as we should. The super glue that will keep marriages intact is that loving commitment. But not only in the marriage relationship, but the super glue of commitment needs to be seen with a commitment to each individual in the family. Each individual. One Florida mother said, each person forms a part of the family, and each part is precious. And when that kind of commitment is expressed to each one, husband, wife, children, grandparents, etc., when that kind of commitment is expressed, it makes everyone in the family feel worthwhile and secure. And those are so important in our lives, aren't they? Let me share with you something that a woman wrote about an experience that she had and what her family meant to her. I think some of you could echo these very thoughts. About 10 years ago, after a brief physical illness and a change of job, something happened to me, to my mind and my emotions. I guess I became mentally sick. I lost control of my life and became so depressed that I couldn't function. Needless to say, I was not enjoyable to be around. Probably no one will ever know all the causes for that bad period in my life, but I can tell you that my family didn't give up on me. My husband searched until he found an excellent team of physicians to treat my medical problems. With their help, he located a counselor for me. He had to do all this for me because a depressed person has no energy or initiative. My daughter rearranged her schedule in order to drive me the 40 miles to Springfield for my weekly counseling sessions. She always planned something special for our trips to the city, some shopping, a nice lunch, or a museum that would boost my spirit. My sister came by the house two or three times a week. She'd say she came for coffee or just to talk, but while she was there, she would manage to tidy up the kitchen, do some laundry, weed a flower bed, or vacuum while she was there. After a few weeks of the deepest depression, I began to feel a bit better. My complete recovery took nearly a year. But notice this statement. I am eternally grateful to a few close friends and to my church for helping me in my recovery. But most especially, I'm grateful to my family. As sick as I was always aware of their support and patience. Are the members of our family aware of our support and our patience, of our commitment to them through thick and thin, that we're going to be there and we're going to help? You see, members of strong families express commitment to one another, not just in words, but also through investments of time and energy. The commitment is active and it's obvious. And knowing that everyone in the family is committed to one another helps each family member feel a sense of belonging. I belong here. I'm accepted. I am loved. You see, loving commitment is that super glue that holds families together. Loving commitment. It's a special kind of love. It's a love that's steady and sure. It's a love that is conscious and unconditional. It's a love that communicates, I decide and promise to love you because of who you are, not because of what you do, and not because of how I feel. That's the super glue. And I believe Eric read about that in 1 Corinthians 13. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. It's the type of love that God has for us. He's lovingly committed himself to us and gone to great lengths to demonstrate that love. And I love the statement found in Jeremiah 31, verse 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love. A love that won't quit. A love that is committed. That's the type of love God has for us. And the type of super glue that will hold our families together. Let me go back to the three PowerPoints. It takes two in a relationship. It takes you to express that commitment within that relationship. But really, it takes three. It takes three. A braid appears to contain only two strands of hair. But I know by experience, it's impossible to create a braid with only two strands. That's been a joke in my house, me doing the girls' hair through the years. They don't even ask me anymore. Because you see, if you take two strands and try to put them together, they'll quickly unravel. Here's the mystery. What looks like two strands requires the third. And the third strand, though not immediately evident, keeps the braid tightly woven. Some have made this application. In a Christian marriage, God's presence, like the third strand in a braid, holds husband and wife together. It takes three. It takes three. It takes three to hold not just husband and wife, but parent and child or children together. It takes three to have that solid foundation built upon God and His Word to hold our families together and make them strong. Remember the words of Jesus, what God has joined together in marriage or just in a family relationship, let not man separate. Loving commitment is that super glue that'll hold us together. And it's expressed by God Himself. How much do you love us, God? I love you this much that I would send my Son to live among you and then go to the cross on your behalf. I would give that which is precious to me so that your deepest needs can be met. So he expressed that love, that committed kind of love, by giving his Son to die for us. Have you reciprocated that love? It takes two. Even in our relationship with God, God has expressed his love. Have we returned that love? Perhaps this morning it's your desire to return that love by giving your life to God through obedience to the gospel If that's your desire, we hope and pray that you'll express that this morning. Perhaps others of us that are Christians, that have obeyed the gospel, we need to return to our first love. We need to recommit our lives to showing our love and commitment to God. Perhaps there's some changes, even publicly, that we need to make. But let's also resolve to take the love of God that He's expressed to us and let it live within our families. That it'll be that super glue that'll hold us together. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ, we want you to come right now as we stand and sing.